So, I'm about 6.5 hours into a 9-hour drive, so I'm going to try this whole recording while driving thing. I have no idea if it's going to work, but I don't really have much else to do right now, so might as well try recording. So the sound quality is probably not going to be as good as it could be, you know, and if I say, oh shit, there's a moose, then, you know, oh shit, there was a moose. So, let's see. I think I'd like to try recording the Diary of a Teacher from, it was a requested, I can't remember exactly who requested it, but it's a request from quite a while ago, and I've been wanting to get to it, and I just haven't had a chance, so lo and behold, here I am. yeah, so this is going to be from the teacher's perspective. These are going to be kind of her audio notes of her class, and yeah, we'll see how it goes. First class. Well, I think it's going to be an okay semester. I mean, unfortunately, they stuck me with almost 50 students, which is about twice as many as probably should be in this class. Really makes it difficult to have good conversations. But, you know, times being what they are, got to stretch every dollar at the university, so... yeah, so the other thing that I'm not too excited about this semester... is that they stuck me in Smith Hall, in this room 211, and in that room, it's so full of desks, like, up to capacity, that the podium is kind of just right in front of the first row, like, almost touching. In fact, it might actually be touching the very front row and of desks, and so, and it's slightly turned, and so that means that you know, any student, whatever student it is that's sitting in the front row there, sorry, I just realized I was speeding. I should probably put my cruise control on before I get myself in trouble. Again, I already got pulled over once. Anyway. But, you know, I try to limit myself to one speeding ticket per day. What can I say? All right, so, sorry, where was I? I'm not going to start over because I already started over twice. So at any rate, the podium is right up against this front row of students, and so if, you know, to the right of the classroom, and there's a student, at least today, that was sitting right there, right in front of the podium, and I mean, that's fine, that's not a problem, it's just hard, you know, I mean, it's going to be a lecture class, because there's really not very much discussion you can have with 50 students. And so that means I'm just going to be lecturing, like, just standing over this person. It's, you know, it's almost like sitting in my lap. It's just like, it feels too intimate for the lecture situation. It's just, it feels kind of off. I don't know. Yeah, and he's also, I mean, he seems very sweet. Very earnest, but not too earnest. And he's very cute. I know, I'm not supposed to say these things, you know, as the professor, and I'm sure he's a freshman or a sophomore, and so he's probably no more than 19, so I really shouldn't be saying that about him, but, at any rate, so there's a group of kids in the back that I think are going to be kind of a pain, at least until they stop coming to class, and then, you know, we can just move on without them. I hate to be so flippant about it, but, you know, you can't engage everyone, so some students just don't want to pay attention, and that's fine, you know, I'm not the ones paying for their college education. So, all right, I think I'm ready for this semester. I think it's going to be a good one. Class 2. Okay, so today's lecture wasn't as, dynamic as it could have been. It really would have been better if I could have had the attention of everybody. You know, I know that, you know, FCC regulations and the history of regulating media, it's not particularly interesting. I don't find it particularly interesting, but I do my best, you know. I try to insert some humor, and I guess maybe also my jokes are a little stale. I mean, there was only one student who seemed at all interested, and that was the one, Jim, like, sitting right in the front there. Yeah, He was the only one that seemed at all engaged. And he laughed at my jokes, which makes me think that if only one out of 45 students are laughing, that's probably a problem. So maybe back to the drawing board. Class three. So today went better in terms of discussion. We actually managed to get some conversation going. You know, I've started to notice that there are a few students in the class that have really strong opinions. And so I really need to make sure that we can balance between, you know, one side and the other, especially when we start talking about, you know, who should be funding public radio and public television and who shouldn't be. So that kind of got a little bit heated. But, you know, the interesting thing is that Jim, the one who sits right in the front row and I'm basically, like, standing over him while I teach, you know, he's always making these, like, little comments that only I can hear. He doesn't actually engage in the class discussion, but he's always got something, like, really kind of appropriate for the moment to say. And I really wish that he would just speak up during class because I think it would really add something to the discussion. But he just kind of seems to, like, you know, mutter it under his breath or something. And you know, I mean, I can tell that he's waiting for me to react to what he's saying, but he's just not bringing it up to the class, which is, you know, that's interesting. He keeps coming to class a little early, and, you know, sitting there, and at first he was doing it, and he had his little earbuds in, I obviously wasn't talking to him because he was listening to something or other, and today he kind of came in early and just kind of sat there and shot the shit with me while I was setting up for class. And so, you know, he's a very nice kid. He's a little distracting though. I find myself, like, when I'm, you know, in the middle of a sentence and I find myself waiting to hear if he's going to make some sort of quip about it under his breath when I pause. But at any rate, that's neither here nor there. So, yeah, class was pretty good. I'm actually really happy with class today, so excellent. Class four. Okay, so talking about the history of internet regulation is not a good way to keep students engaged at all. Yeah, so today's class was really kind of tough. I felt really off today anyway. I just was having trouble keeping my head in the game. You know, the only thing that was nice about today's class was, that Jim again came in early and sat right in the front. And as you know, I mean, everybody kind of sits in the same seats after the first day anyway, so that's not surprising. But you know, he came in early, and while I was setting up, and was talking with me, was just kind of asking. He just asked me about a couple of things that we had talked about last class, and insightful questions, not just kind of the vapid, like, is that going to be on the test, which is not particularly impressive. And you know, it's getting more distracting, I think. And I know I really shouldn't talk with him so much, but I mean, especially since, you know, I don't know, I'm starting to pay a little too much attention to him during my lectures. I keep making eye contact with him, and it's sometimes when I do, lose myself in my train of thought, and so it's quite distracting. At times. And I know that that's completely unprofessional. And, you know, I mean, it's not the first time that I've, you know, been distracted by a student, but this is the first time I've ever been distracted enough that I've lost the train of thought in the middle of a lecture. So, but he has to be so cute, that's the problem. And it's not like I can ask him to move seats because he would ask me why. And I don't have a legitimate answer. I mean, I can't say, because you're cute and attractive and you're distracting me. I'm pretty sure that's against policy. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's in the handbook that they give you as an instructor. You know, no saying things that will make the students feel uncomfortable, and I think that might qualify. So I think I'm just gonna have to suck it up and I don't know, just try harder. Not to, I guess. Class six. Okay, so today was kind of odd. It was a good class, I thought. You know, I mean, students are really getting the material. You know, and we're coming up on the midterm, and I'm feeling positive about their ability to handle it. It was kind of an odd class because, again, Jim came by early, and in last class he stayed after for a few minutes too. He didn't say anything. He just kind of, you know, took a long time to pack up his bag. So I don't know what that was all about. But at any rate, probably nothing. I'm just being silly. I'm just being, oh God, I'm being like a high school girl about this. This is ridiculous. But anyway, he came in today early and he was dressed in a suit, which, you know, you don't see very many college students that are all dressed up. And so I thought maybe he's taking like a public speaking class or a business, you know, and he had a business presentation or something. And so I asked him and he said no. He said he's pledging a fraternity, which I thought was interesting. I don't know if I would have pegged him for the type, but I mean, what do I really know about him anyway? So would have pegged him for the type. Yeah, anyway. So I was very distracted when I was trying to give my lecture because, you know, I mean, he was certainly, adorable enough in, you know, t-shirt and jeans, and that ubiquitous hoodie that everyone who's that age wears, you know, and I mean, that was certainly cute enough, but to see him in, you know, a button up and a tie and the suit, you know, he looked a little bit more, maybe less like jailbait, I guess is the best way to put it. I need to stop talking like this. I'm so glad that these notes are just for me and not for anyone else, because I would be so embarrassed if this came out. But I'm starting to think that, I don't know, I mean, it's really hard to tell. Like, I'm starting to think that he might have a crush on me, which I'm, you know, I mean, it's probably just my wishful thinking because I think he's so cute, but you know, but I mean, not that I'd ever do anything about that because, I mean, I wouldn't, you know, I couldn't, you know, I could lose my job. But I don't know, it's, kind of the way he's been looking at me. I just, you know, he seems to always be trying to catch my eye. And so I don't know, maybe he's noticed that if I look at him, I kind of get thrown off my lecture side. And so maybe he's just kind of just toying with that to see if, because you know how students can be where they just try really hard to pull you off your game. But I don't think that's it. That's not the vibe I'm getting. I mean, if it was just that, you know, he wouldn't be trying so hard to strike up conversation with me. I mean, you know, today he stayed after, and he wanted to talk to me about this website and asking, have you seen this? And you know, then he made some sort of, well, actually, he, you know, I used this example in class, and, it was a meme, and then he asked me about Reddit after class, and I was a little embarrassed because I'm not supposed to admit, you know, I'm a professional and all that, so we had a little conversation about something that was completely unrelated to class, and that felt really nice. And he just kind of remained sitting at his desk, like, very eager for quite a while after class. I mean, I was almost all packed up. I had already told the TA, you know, that I needed her to make copies of the exam for the following class, and it was interesting. It was nice. I liked it. term, which never seems to take the entire class. I mean, I always give the students the entire 80-minute period. They never need the full 80 minutes for the test, with two exceptions. One was a student who came in, well, I guess actually, he didn't need the full 80 minutes. He needed the 40 minutes that were left when he came in. And then Chip, for some reason, took 80 minutes to do what took everyone else 40 minutes. And so I ended up, I sent the TA home because, you know, I mean, she's going to have to do all the grading anyway, so she might as well just get out of there and I'll just sit there and wait. She's got another class to get to after this anyway, so. After I told her to leave, I just kind of sat there and, you know, and waited and waited and waited. And, you know, I eventually kind of, I sat down behind the podium because I was just tired of, you know, standing. So I may, I don't know if I should admit this, but I may have purposely worn a bit of a shorter skirt than I normally would. I don't actually normally wear skirts. I tend to wear slacks and, you know, maybe a blazer or, you know, depending on the weather. It's always so hot in that, it's always so hot in the third floor there. It's just maddening, you know. And, you know, it doesn't matter what time of year. It's like they never shut off the heater. You know, it can be August in there, and then, you know, they still get the heat on. It's crazy. But at any rate, I decided I'd wear a skirt, and I didn't, you know, do it purposefully because this is the day I teach this class, because I knew Jim would be. I didn't do that on purpose, but what I what I did do on purpose was, to choose to wear thigh highs instead of stockings. And so after everyone left and it was just me sitting behind the podium, just a couple feet from Jim while he was finishing up his test, which I'm fairly convinced, given his performance on a couple of the quizzes we've had, like, I really don't think that he needed that much time. I think that, well, it doesn't matter what I think, he was there. So I may have purposely worn the thigh highs and then purposely sat in such a way as the skirt rode up just a little so that it was obvious I was wearing thigh highs and not stockings. I thought it was a pretty safe thing to do because, I mean, there's no way that he would know that I did that on purpose. I mean, aside from this recording, which is the only evidence which I'm going to have to destroy now, but, I mean, there's no way he could know that, right? Not only did I do that, but then I very purposefully avoided making eye contact with him so that if he wanted to look, I would catch him looking. But I did catch him looking. Yeah, there was one point where he was just kind of staring at me, and you know, I gave him a look, but not like a "I know what you're looking at" look. It was just kind of like a "Oh, hi, are you done with your test" look. And he just kind of shook his head and went, you know, and started looking over the same page that he'd been on for the last half hour. But, you know, he was looking. And he did seem a little pink and flustered about it. And I really enjoyed that, but I really shouldn't. I mean, this is not, it's not a good idea to kind of be, you know, at all interested, you know, or tease, like, I shouldn't, at any rate, he kind of handed in the test, and then he just kind of sat there for a while, and I don't know what was going on with him. I don't know why he didn't leave. I actually just started packing up, and then I actually left before him, and so I do you think maybe he had an erection and he was embarrassed? Oh my god, that would be so... No, I'm just being... I'm sure that's not what it was. I'm sure he just wanted to, I don't know, fiddle with his iPod or something before, you know, heading off to his next class or something. You know, I'm sure it wasn't that at all, so... At any rate. So. Class 8. So Jim showed up wearing that really cute suit again this time. And I asked him if he was still pledging, and he said yes. But he kind of looked like he was holding back something, and so I wonder if maybe he just wore it for the sake of wearing it. At any rate, exams went well. The class as a whole did all right. You know, I did end up having to scale just a little bit, you know, and some of the students did very, very well, including Jim. So I guess that extra time that he took helped, I guess. So I talked today to students about their final projects and about kind of the scope of it and how they need to either come by my office hours or talk to me after class about what their topic is going to be, because I need every student to check in with me, because you know, you always have those students and you explain again and again and again what the assignment is and they still choose something totally off topic that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And at any rate, in general, I think students were pretty excited about the project, and there were lots of questions, and so I had a few students come up to me after class and ask me, you know, would this topic work, would that topic work? And then I had a couple of students who scheduled appointments during my office hours, and then actually it was Jim, you know, of all the students, right, came up to me after class and asked, you know, he said that my regular office hours, you know, Tuesdays and Thursdays from 1 to 3, don't actually work for him, I guess, because he has class during that time or something like that. And so he asked if it would be possible to come by during one of the evenings if I happen to be around. So actually on Monday nights I teach a class that gets done around 6. And so I told him that it would be fine if he wanted to come by around then on Monday, that I would be in my office and it would be no problem if he wanted to talk about his project. So I'm a little, I feel a little, all right, I'll be honest, I feel kind of excited that I'll have him in my office. Especially after hours, I mean, the building will be very quiet. I need to stop talking about this and thinking about this. We'll see how that goes. So. Class 9. Wow. So I'm not exactly sure where to start. So this note is... I mean, I'll talk about today's class in just a few minutes, but I think I kind of need to talk about my meeting last night. On Monday night. Yeah, after I taught my other course. Jim... You know, the Jim. came by and... he wanted to talk about his project, and so, you know, very promptly at 6, I get the knock on my office door, and I say, come in, and he comes in, and usually I try to leave the door open when I have a student in my office. It's just good policy, because, you know, I mean, I've known people who got accused of, you know, inappropriate whatever with students, or, you know, if a student feels threatened, or, you know, and you just never want a situation like that. But when he closed the door behind him, I didn't say anything. And that's because I wanted the door to be closed. Yeah. sits in the chair in front of my desk, and you know, I'm behind the desk with my laptop off to the side, and you know, he kind of just shot the shit with me for a few minutes, and you know, it was very pleasant, like he usually is in class, and then he said, well, I wanted to ask you about my project, and I say, okay, well, you know, what are you thinking for your project? And then he kind of turned the most adorable shade of pink, like a very, very bright pink, and so I just kept waiting, because, you know, eventually, he'd have to let it out, whatever it was. And I was quite curious what it might be, and he said, well, he says, I'm not sure if it's appropriate. I said, well, if you tell me what it is, I can tell you if it's an appropriate topic. And he says, I wanted to do a project on media representations of inappropriate relationships. And I think my eyebrows kind of like went straight up when he said that. And I paused and I tried to be very professional. And you know, I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, okay, where's this going? And I say, well, that's... And this is the truth. I mean, that's a very broad topic. I mean, media representations of inappropriate relationships. Are you talking about, you know... And so I ask him, you know, what kind of relationship are you talking about, you know? And he says, well, you know, the kind of relationships between older women and younger men. And at that, his face went completely red. And hearing that made me so wet. I didn't even know. I just kind of like sat there for a second, because I mean, what do you even say then? I mean, he was embarrassed about it, and the only reason he would be embarrassed about it is because it was something that he'd been thinking about, and he'd been thinking about it. Yeah, so at that point, I should have said that probably won't work. And then I should have said, why don't we brainstorm something else? And I should have said, no, I don't think so. I should have done any number of things. But instead, what I said was, this sounds really interesting. Why don't you tell me more? And, oh, I'm so embarrassed that I did that. And he was very embarrassed. And, you know, he kind of stammered a little bit and kind of was like, well, you know, there's in the media, sometimes you have, you know, films or, you know, stories about older women and younger men, and, you know, teachers sometimes, and or, you know, coaches or something like that, and sometimes, you know, things happen, and I'm interested in writing about why people think that's wrong. And at that, he looked at me, and I did not know what to say. But because I'm me and I always have to say something, I said, well, what do you think? Do you think those relationships are wrong? Very pleased with his response, which was immediate, and he said, no, I don't. And so I said, very excited at this point, but still trying to, I mean, you have to tread really carefully, and I shouldn't be treading at all. I mean, that's the point, is that I should have just said no. I should have said, this is a bad topic, this is inappropriate, this is... But instead, I said, I think this is a good topic, and I think that we should continue talking about it. And I have some sources that I think might work well for you for this project. And so what I think would work best is if we set up another appointment, maybe after class tomorrow. And he said, yes, that would work fine. That would be great. Let's do that. And so then there was some traffic outside in the hallway, and so I just kind of said, okay, that's great. Then I'll see you tomorrow after class. And so today in class, class itself was good. I had a lot of trouble concentrating, probably because all I could think about was Jim, who was sitting, as always, just right in front of the podium, just looking at me, the whole class. And but whenever I looked at him, he did not. He looked down, because I think he still couldn't quite believe our conversation from the night before. I got through class just fine. It was fine, you know. And then after class, you know, everybody packs up and the TA leaves. There were all the usual complaints about, the big project that's coming up and all of that. And a couple of students who stayed after to talk with me about it. But then, you know, it was just the two of us. And I asked him, where the best place would be to go over some of the things that he was interested in talking about, some of the sources that, you know, he might be interested in, and talking about the construction of the paper and the best way to go about the topic. And of course, I'm not sure if I meant a single word I said to him, and I'm not sure if he cared what I said to him. And then he suggested his apartment, which I immediately said, no, that's a bad idea. I might be reckless, but I'm not stupid. Or wait a minute, I might be stupid, but I'm not reckless. One or the other. And so I knew it would be a bad idea to go anywhere near his turf, because, I mean, not that I think it will come to this, and not that anything happened necessarily that would need this, but if there was ever, you know, an investigation, or I don't know, you know, if there was ever any question about my conduct as a professor, you know, I wanted to be able to say that I did not go to my student's apartment, full stop, you know, because that, I don't know how I could explain that. However, I did suggest going to my house, which was not far from campus. It's right off campus, actually. And the excuse that I gave to him, and the excuse that I would give to anybody who asks, was that the office was actually, because I share the office with another instructor, and that, you know, it was her night to teach, and so it would be distracting for her. It's not a strong excuse, but it's still an excuse. And so Jim, of course, was very amenable to the idea of coming to my house. And so it's right off campus, and so we walked. Which I thought might feel awkward, but it didn't. It was fine. You know, no problems. And so we get in the house, and, you know, I offer him something to drink. Non-alcoholic, of course. I mean, I don't even think he's of age. Makes what happened next even less good, I guess, is the way to put it. You know, we go in the living room and we sit on the couch together, and, I turn to him and I say, so why don't you tell me a little bit more about this project? And then I asked him again. I asked, you know, are you still feeling the same way about this project that you were yesterday? And he immediately nodded and said that he was more interested than ever in why people were so wrapped up in the idea of these relationships being wrong. And I said, okay, well, why don't we just brainstorm a couple of reasons why people might think that? And maybe you can tell me why you don't agree with those reasons. He says, okay. And I said, well, for one thing, you know, let's take the teacher-student relationship, for instance, because that's a pretty simple relationship. It's easy to understand. So, and he just nods. And I said, so we're talking about the relationship between a teacher and a student. Obviously, there's a power differential there, right? And I wait for him to nod, and he nods. So obviously, the teacher who... The teacher is the one... Sorry, driving is interrupting. So there's a power differential. Obviously, the teacher is the one who has the power in the relationship because the teacher is the one who assigns the student the grade and is typically the responsible party. And he just kind of nods. And so I continue and I say, so some people would argue that it's not a good idea for a teacher and a student to have some sort of... And I let a long pause go by. Sexual arrangement. Because the teacher could be considered coercive because the teacher is the one with the power. You know, so I mean, somebody might argue that the student thought their grade was in jeopardy if they didn't agree to this sexual arrangement. How do you feel about that? And Jim, though I could tell he was quite embarrassed, he actually had a really good way of handling that. He said that he thought a good teacher would be able to make it clear to the student that that student's grade was not in jeopardy and was not contingent upon any particular agreement or non-agreement, and that the grade was only going to reflect the work done in the course. And I thought that was a really good answer. And so I gave him a big smile, and I moved a little bit closer to him on the couch. Not noticeably so. I mean, I didn't, you know, like, plaster myself against him and press myself up against him, but I did move a few inches closer. And then I said, well, another thing that people might have a problem with is that because there's an age difference between, you know, said teacher and student, there might be some sort of issue with that, and that the student is too innocent and is being taken advantage of by the teacher, who is probably more experienced. What do you think about that particular argument? I could see he was twisting this one over in his head. He had to think about this one a little more than the other one. I think that it could be true that the student is not very experienced, but even if the student is inexperienced, that doesn't mean that they don't understand what they're getting themselves into. Okay. Okay. That makes sense. That makes sense. And as he said that, I unbuttoned my blazer and take it off. And underneath I've got a little shell blouse type thing on, sleeveless. Slightly low cut, but not, you know, I mean, it's obviously, it's my teaching gear, so it's not, you know, I mean, it's, there's certainly nothing risque about it, but he certainly, appreciated that. So then I asked, what do you think needs to be said about a said sexual arrangement between a teacher and a student in order to make it acceptable? And he looked at me, and I could tell that he was already very excited. I'm not sure that anything more needs to be said. And that's when I leaned over and I gave him a kiss. And I said, I think you're right. And, yeah, things, the lessons started coming pretty quick after that. And, turns out that he is 19. And he is pretty sexually inexperienced, which was kind of fun to play around with that. So, yeah, we'll have to see if there's any sort of repercussion from this.